Again, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter. As I was driving to church this morning, I noticed the temperature was a balmy -4. It's a lot nicer in here. Thank you for being here worshiping, and thank you for those tuning in online that couldn't make it today. Last week, we touched on this portion of Scripture in which Jesus goes up on the mountaintop, goes to pray in a desolate place. He sends his disciples out for the same discipline or same experience. When Jesus, we're going to look at the passage, when he walks on the water, when Jesus walks on the water, the issue of faithfulness comes up, the issue of the call to faith. And I want to encourage you in your faith today, wherever you're at in that faith spectrum, and I hope to find out where you're at today, wherever you're at, I want you to increase that and pursue after Christ. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start with verse 22 and read through verse 33. God's counsel for us reads, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" This episode in the life and ministry of Christ happens in the Galilean area, the Galilean ministry of central Israel. Jesus and his apostles just fed 5,000 men plus women and children, and they spent some time with their Heavenly Father. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray in a desolate place. He exhorted his apostles, those he sent out, to go spend some time with the Heavenly Father. So they got in the boat. That's what they know. That's their experience. But yet, it says they had difficulty. Now, there's three difficulties they face. They got in the boat, which would be the northern, northwestern portion of the Sea of Galilee. They had three issues or three difficulties. Number one, they're a long way from land. If you look at the original autograph of Scripture and use that measurement, this is perhaps they're 3 or 4 miles away from the shoreline. So if you say, well, Peter could have just stood up when he walked on the water, how many of us 3 or 4 miles from land would say, we can just make it back to shore? I'll just wade my way back. It says they were 3 or 4 miles away, a long ways from land. It says they were beaten by the waves. Interesting that he uses the word beaten. If you've ever been in the ocean with a strong current and you get sideswiped by a wave, you've been beaten by the waves. Not only that, the third issue, the third physical difficulty, the wind was against them. I believe those physical obstacles are very symbolic of the obstacles we have in faith. Everything's working against us. But yet, We got to push through. And in this, through all these obstacles, through all these issues, we come closer and closer with the Lord Jesus himself. And through the text, I want to show you three phases of faithfulness. Three phases, three stages, three areas, whatever you want to call it. And it's not so much that it's just you pursuing the Lord. In this, the Lord is pursuing you. Now, I'll go ahead and give away one of my major preaching points. In all of this, Jesus is pursuing the disciples. He goes after them. He goes after Peter. He comes to the boat. He leaves the mountain. He goes after them. So it's not just, I've got to go after God. In the Christian perspective of faith, he is pursuing you, wanting you to deepen your faith and move on to the next phase, move on to the next stage of faithfulness. Let's go to verse 25, read verses 25 through 27 of Matthew chapter 14. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Here's the first stage of faithfulness. It's knowing the Lord. Here is where faith resides in your heart, knowing the Lord. In the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m., I presume, closer to daybreak, Jesus is pursuing his disciples, his apostles, and he goes to them because they are not able to get to him. Remember those three obstacles? They're out to sea, the wind's against them, the waves are beating them. They can't make it back as much as they try, but Jesus is going to them. So shortly before daybreak, the apostles spot someone or something on the water. What in the world is going on? That can't be somebody walking on the water. Hey guys, am I hallucinating? And the best they can rationalize this, they think it's a ghost, phantasma in the Greek. It's a spirit being, it's incorporeal. Because this is literally impossible. No one can walk on the water. It's supernatural. There's an illusionist by the name of Chris Angel who resides in Las Vegas. In 2006, he performed a feat, an illusion, where he walked on water in the swimming pool of a casino on the Strip. And then in 2008, he did the same stunt, just in a different area in Lake Mead, just outside of Las Vegas. He performed this illusion where he could walk on water. You say, "Pastor, was it real?" Well, the masked magician, whoever that guy is, he gave us the details of how it's not real, how it's just an illusion. It's a smoke and mirror, a trick of angles. And it's edited, by the way. Now, you can believe whatever you want to. You can say, "Well, Chris Angel walked on water." Well, I've seen the masked magician, and he says that Chris Angel did not walk on water. They respond in fear. This is how they think of the situation. It's not admiration, it's fear. They don't know it's Jesus yet. Their faith in God is hampered, it's crippled by fear. So Jesus not only goes to them, but if you notice, Jesus speaks to them. And this is what he says: "Don't be afraid." Now they respond in fear, and then he says, "Don't be afraid." Phobos is the Greek word. Don't be afraid. Why do you not have to be afraid? Because it's me. Why do we as followers of Christ not have to fear? Because we have him. We have a relationship with him. And when they hear his voice, they realize we don't have to be afraid because we know him. We have a relationship with him. We have faith in him. We know him because we have faith in our hearts. So if you want to say, where does the faith begin? Faith always begins in your heart. Faith always starts as the origination of you in your heart. Romans chapter 10, I love these verses, Romans 10, 9 through 11, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Listen to this, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved, for the scripture says, whoever believes, the Greek word is pistuo, which means faith. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. So where does faith begin? It starts in your heart. In verse 27, Jesus said, take heart. It's I. And he says, take heart. And we could really say that could really be translated in the understanding of take courage. Don't be unsettled in your soul. Take heart. You can trust in me. It is I. Now, that phrase in verse 27, let me speak to that. Take heart, it is I. A little unusual wording. The ESV translation team, I think, did it quite well. But there's not that many words in that, it is I. It's really two words. It's a pronoun followed by a verb. Both of them first person, singular. It's I, me, ego. You say, what's the big deal? No one cares about Greek. If you look at it that way, it doesn't say it is I. It says I am. He says, take heart. I am. When the disciples heard that, they think, good grief. That's Exodus chapter 3. When Moses said, what am I going to tell them? Who sent me? Moses, you tell them I am. So not only is Jesus saying, you don't have to be afraid, it's me. He's saying, take heart, I am. I'm in control of this. I am God. And so you don't have to be afraid. This is where we begin the faith journey, knowing the Lord, faith in your hearts. And I pray that all of you in attendance, all of you listening online, know the Lord Jesus in your heart. That's the relationship. That's where it starts. Matthew chapter 14, let's go to verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Here's the second stage of faithfulness. It's responding to his call. This is no longer just faith in your heart. This is faith in action, or as James chapter 2 would say, faith with works, faith accompanied by works. It's responding to his call. When Jesus says, it's me, guys, you don't have to be afraid. Peter, the first to speak, the last to think, responds. Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to come out to follow you. Jesus says, come on. Oh, man. Peter had to second guess that. Like, what did I just do? 3 to 4 miles away from the shoreline. His response lacks common sense. We're quick to point out, man, Peter, you're always opening your mouth. You're always doing foolish stuff. But if we're honest, we find ourselves a lot like Peter. When we make decisions or say things, we love to point out, man, Peter, he sank later on in the scripture. We read that. But if you notice, he's the only one to speak in the boat. All the apostles are quiet. What does that say about them? At least he had the gumption to do something to respond to the call of Jesus. When Jesus says, take heart, it's I. Peter's like, okay, I'm not going to be afraid. I'll come out. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. Come on, big boy. Jesus called to all of them, saying, don't be afraid. And only one responded. Jesus doesn't rebuke Peter. Like, Peter, don't come out here. Come on, man. I'm God. I am. I'm the Lord. I can do this. Isaiah the prophet says I can trample the waves. You're just a man. Don't do that. But here's what he says to Peter, step out. Peter walked on water. There's only two people in the history of the world that have walked on water, the Lord Jesus and Peter. No one else. Not Chris Angel. Not an illusionist. James chapter 2 gives us that principle that if you really have genuine faith, it will be evidenced by works, accompanied by works. Jesus loves when our faith is not just in our heart, but when it's in action. When there's always steps that follow. In Matthew chapter 9, one of the most beautiful pictures of faith in action are believing and acting upon it. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is going to heal someone, provide a resurrection. It says in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 9, while he was saying these things to him, behold, a ruler came and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. Now listen to this. And behold, a woman who suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus turned and seeing her said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly, the woman was made well. Faith in action. That woman had the audacity to believe, if I can just touch this miracle worker's garment, if I can touch the fringe of his robe, the hem of his jacket, whatever you want to call it, if I could just touch that, if I touch it, I'll be healed. And she believed that. So she stepped out, touched his garment, and Jesus said, your faith has made you well. This is where knowing the Lord moves to responding to his call. It's all faithfulness, but this is the deeper and the next step. Jesus invites all these guys in the boat to take heart. It's I. Do not be afraid. And Peter says, if it's really you, call me out. He said, come. Was he saying that to Peter or to all of them? I believe it's to Peter, but that thought should haunt the other apostles. Peter had the faith to step out, and I didn't. Just like he does to Peter, the Lord Jesus invites us to respond to him. Respond to his call as his leading is evidence to us. Where our faith goes into action. Back in Matthew chapter 14 to verse 30, about Peter, but when he, Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let me give you the third phase of faithfulness, third and final phase. Not just knowing, not just responding, but focusing. Focusing on Christ. This is not where faith is just in your heart or faith is in action. This is where faith gets into focus. Focusing on Christ, Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk upon the water until he looked elsewhere. Up until that point, his eyes were on Christ. He was focusing on him, but then he saw the effects of the wind. He saw the waves being pushed to and fro, and he forgot to keep his eyes on Jesus Christ. Haven't we all made that mistake? Just like Peter, the first to speak, the last to think. Haven't we lost sight of Christ? What was it? He lost focus. Focus means the ability to see things clearly. I don't know about some of you, but I am gifted I have this ability to take blurry photographs, even with an automated phone that does autofocus. I took pictures of a sporting event yesterday with my son, and I could not send them to my wife because I was like, I don't know who I took a picture of. I took a lot of videos, and they didn't even make sense. I thought, what was I even looking at? It's because it was out of focus in photography. Now, today, you have autofocus that will, on a regular basis, refresh the focus to provide clarity so that objects are not blurry. Now, you say, Pastor, what do you know about cameras and photography and focus? Nothing, but I talked to Stephen before I preached this during the week. We had a meeting, and he was very patient with me. But the autofocus will continually refresh. Now, in traditional photography, which is not now, but it used to be, it'd be roll focus. So if you move, if the camera, if the lens is moved, you've got to roll focus. You've got to continuously think, am I staying in focus? Are objects blurry? So if you move, you've got to change your focus. If things come into your view to hamper your object you're looking at, you've got to roll focus or refresh focus. And if the depth changes on the Z plane, that's the term he used, you've got to be wary of focus. Because as you move in life, it's easy to take your eyes off Christ. And just that idea of photographs that are blurry, that's a picture of what can happen to your faith, Christian. Now, I'm not talking the ones that never profess faith in Jesus Christ or those understanding the call. I'm talking to the ones who came in -4 degree temperature that sometimes we lose focus. My signal battalion, my communications battalion in the Army National Guard, we were at annual training at Fort Chaffee. And we'd set up our equipment, our antennas, and all of our gear on these rolling hills. I would say it was a good time, but it wasn't. It was work. Now, one of the guys in our headquarters, Private Smith, we call him Smokey. That's another sermon altogether. He brought his camera along, and he took pictures of us setting up equipment, us organizing and setting stuff out. You know, I was thinking about this illustration again on the way to church this morning, and I realized we all had top secret clearances, and here he was taking photographs of secret equipment. And you need a security clearance to be around. Nonetheless, he took pictures, and as we were out in the field, a storm front rolled through, and he captured the clouds coming across these hills. Our equipment, our servicemen and women in the field, and the backdrop of all these wonderful imagery of the weather. Not only did Private Smith take his camera, he also smuggled along alcohol. And he loved photography. He also loved alcohol. So he combined the two while on duty around top secret security equipment. And later we got on the laptop and we looked at all of his photos. And it was, for an amateur, it was great. He had these great images of equipment and the weather. But we noticed we could tell when he started to drink because his photographs started to get blurry. He didn't know about focus. He didn't know about clarity. And as we watched these photos go through this roll, by the end of that evening, you could not tell what he was taking a picture of. And we said, Smokey, what is this a picture of? He said, I found a frog and took a picture of it. We said, we can't tell what that is. What happened? He lost focus. It's easy, as time goes on, for us Christians to lose focus. I mean, things get in our way, and sometimes it's gradual. That's the bad one. It's just little things that slowly, you say, well, I can still see Christ, but not as clear, not as precise as we used to. And sometimes things block us. We're like, oh, we'll get that out of the way. But sometimes it's that gradual, ongoing issue of clarity we lack. Peter lost focus. He doubted his situation because of that. He couldn't see Christ anymore. He was looking at the waves. And it wasn't just Peter. All of the apostles lost focus. And he said, we don't think that's the case. They stayed in the boat. No. This is the second time they've been on the sea together. Let me bring you back to Matthew chapter 8, one of my favorite stories of Scripture. Matthew chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. This is the first instance they were on the sea together with Jesus. He was asleep in the stern of the boat. They came and woke him up. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him? So this is the second time they've been on the boat with Jesus, and he calms the sea. The first time they say, man, what kind of guy is this? The second time this happens, they say, truly, you're the Son of God. It goes from bewilderment to worship. It says in the final verse, they worshiped him, saying, you're the Son of God. Both situations caused the apostles to grow in their faith, be closer to him, but it moved to a deeper, profound sense of faithfulness. They said, you're the Son of God. So let me ask you this morning, what phase of faithfulness would you fall in? Would you say, I have no relationship with the Lord Jesus? Well, here's where faith begins. Faith begins in your heart, knowing the Lord in a relationship. You say, well, how do I be saved? If you believe, Romans 10, if you believe in your heart that he died and God rose him again, if you believe, if you have faith, you're saved. It's a promise of Scripture. That's how you start that journey of faith, if you will. Do you know the Lord? Maybe it's not faith in your heart, it's faith in action. Maybe you've got a great sense of theology. Man, I know what I believe, it's all head knowledge. But are you proving your faith by your works? Is your faith in action? Are you responding to his call? So have you taken the next steps? After you've been saved, you've had faith in your heart, have you been baptized? Have you been a part of a church as a member? Not just those, you say, whoo, I thought we got off easy. No, you didn't. Wait, listen to this. Are you involved in your church? Are you involved in ministries? Are you doing something to prove you have faith in Jesus Christ? Not just faith in your heart, but faith in action, responding to his call, stepping up and stepping out, just like Peter did. Let me give you two events that will be coming up that will help you respond to his call. I know this is not announcement time, but it worked into the sermon. I don't know how. January 28th, just a few weeks away, Lord willing, we'll have our missions and ministry fair. To find out how to get involved, come to that. In between services, come enjoy refreshments, come talk to people about local church ministries, and also talk about, pray about, stepping up and stepping out, responding to his call. There's an informational meeting about Brazil coming up. Africa is always on the docket. I had a video conference this week with some missionaries, Wally and Charlotte. Those aren't their names, but that's what we call them on live stream. They said, First Baptist needs to pray about a trip this year. Throw that out there. I won't say a whole lot about Southeast Asia on recording, but we need to seriously pray about what we're going to do. Because God is working, and they're throwing it out there. So if you've been trained in evangelism, if you like to share your faith, and if you like to pray, consider Southeast Asia. You don't need a seminary degree. You just need an open and willing heart. And love to fly. Maybe you're going to respond to that call. Not just that, January 28th, the Missions and Ministry Fair. February 4th, It's Discover First. It's where those that are interested in being a member, in between services right here in the worship center, will meet with you, talk about what it means to be a church member. We've had several join since our last meeting together as far as Discover First goes. But maybe you're on the fence saying, I don't know if I want to be a member. Maybe I do. Come to this meeting. We'll explain everything to you. Take that next step. Respond to his call. And that goes for all you listening online too. Listening online in worship is a great thing, but it's not the best thing. The best thing is here. Man, it is so warm in here. It's so cozy. Man, it is so nice. The coffee in the foyer is amazing. Respond to his call. Put your faith in action. And I don't want to say just it's all international missions. Get involved here. Come to our Wednesday night Bible study. Lord willing, we'll meet this Wednesday night. And come and pray. Participate with us as we petition God. We got prayer needs. I'm going to get some of those needs out this week. Maybe say, man, I've done all of that. Is your faith in focus? Have you allowed anything to hinder your view, hinder your clarity of Christ? And sometimes it's the things of life. Sometimes it's the weather. Sometimes it's school. Sometimes it's activities. Have you let something take your focus off of Christ? Maybe you're saying, I'm focusing too much on myself. I need to focus on Christ. Well, here's what you do. You ask God to forgive you and say, God, I want to renew my faith today. Now, you can do that in your heart right where you're at. You can pray in just a moment. Let me tell you a great way to renew your faith is by coming to his table and having communion. If thinking back to what he has done on the cross, his body, his blood, given and shed for us, that's a great way to renew your faith. You say, I've got sin in my life. Then if you have sin in your life, confess it now, forsake it, and renew your faith. Now, after Lord's Supper, after communion, if you need to make a decision or if you want to pray, I or some other men would be glad to pray with you. But right now, let's pray and consider ourselves before we come to his table. And for the elders and deacons, after I pray, if you'll meet me down front so we can serve that. So let's go to our Father. Father, we thank you. In pursuing you in faith, we realize you have pursued us. And this whole time, you've waited for us and wanted us. Father, I don't know where we're at in that spectrum, whether someone hadn't trusted in you yet in their hearts, maybe they haven't put it into practice, or maybe we've lost focus. Father, would you work in each of those categories? Would you meet us where we're at? And God, you're not bound by time and space. Father, would you bless those listening online that if they need to make a decision, they'll respond to you and connect with us about it. But Father, if someone needs to be saved, make some decisions, Lord, if it's just to renew their faith today, may we come to your table with hungry souls. You tell us in your word, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Father, may we be filled today with your goodness. Father, restore our hearts. Give us back that joy of our salvation. Renew our faith today. Oh, Father, would you meet with us? We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you what he has done. Lord, we confess our sins. We ask forgiveness, and we pray for you to meet with us in this holy moment. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.